Welcome to Passage to Wonderland, literary passages to complete your day. What is life but a journey? A journey of discovery and identity. In David A. Robertson's award-winning memoir, Black Water, we are taken on a journey with David, the son of a Cree father and a white mother, who grew up not knowing about his indigenous roots. But he takes a trip with his father to the family trapline, to Black Water. In this excerpt, David reflects on his father, the meaning of memory, and the past that lives within him. The boat slides over the line, onto black water, and continues until the hull scratches against rocks on the shore. The ground is blanketed with loose, rounded stones and slopes up towards the clearing. I get out before Dad and find a walking stick against the rocks, a simple piece of driftwood, white and smooth, but shaped so perfectly that it feels intentionally left there for him. He accepts it from me, holds the wood firmly in his hand, and uses it as we make our way to the clearing. I put my hand around his bicep for extra support, but this small act isn't only for him. I want to be as close to Dad as possible. He doesn't shoo me away like he does when I try to kiss him on the cheek, just to bug him, or cuddle him on the couch when he's trying to watch a show. I decide that Dad wants to be close to me as well. He stumbles. I tighten my grip, hold him steady. We continue forward one step at a time. Eric hangs back. Dad digs his walking stick into the ground, and it secures itself between two stones. Another step. We're closer still. Before he puts a foot onto the grass, I glance back and see more than just the space between here and the boat, the steps we've taken over that short distance. I think of a poster, of all things, taped to a cubicle wall under the flickering, mind-numbing glare of fluorescent lighting. You've seen the poster, I'm sure. There are two distinct sets of footprints on a beach, and then they merge into one. There's text over the image, little white letters. It tells the story of a man looking back on his life, who recognizes that one set of footprints is his, and the other is Creator's. The man notices that in harder times, there's only one set of footprints. He asks Creator where he was in those difficult moments, when he needed him most. Creator answers, in what I have pictured in the past as an extremely awkward moment, that those were the times when he had carried the man. Dad and I? Well, our poster is a bit different. There are still two sets of footprints, and sure, let's say they're in the sand for the aesthetics of this imaginary motivational poster. On our poster, however, there is at first only one set of footprints. I'm a baby, and Dad is carrying me. Then suddenly, there are two sets of footprints, and they are far away from each other. Dad and Mom have separated. Dad's footprints are by the water, the place he likes to be most. Mine are by the boardwalk. There is an ocean of sand between us, a great expanse. Then slowly, assuredly, the footprints come together, until they're side by side. Dad and Mom have reconciled, and through that reconciliation, he and I have worked to heal. The footprints continue on in this way, and while neither one of us picks the other up, we support each other. I think of a poster, of all things, and footprints, where they come from, and how they continue on, side by side, until arriving here, together. Memories are footprints in the sand. They're defined one moment, but gone the next. The tide has reached out and pulled them away. You're left with impressions that you desperately try to keep. Some you can, playing in a carport awash in green light. I looked at the cracked concrete, at my clothing, my skin, my hands. I look up, see the green polycarbonate roofing. Some you cannot. I remember my childhood this way, in moments, not memories. I'm sitting in the carport. I'm running away from my bedroom, towards the living room, towards Mom. I'm getting my face painted like a clown's. A red-haired girl behind me, her face already painted. I'm wearing a beige shirt with burgundy sleeves, and she's got a green shirt with yellow lettering. I don't have glasses yet. She does. We're in a field. We drink that orange liquid sugar from McDonald's. I'm placing an injured bird into a shoebox and bringing it to a woman with glasses and short hair. I'm hoping that it will live. My childhood is this way. I carry it with me in moments, not memories. I remember my time with Dad this way, from 2002 onwards. He retired that year as executive director of the Manitoba First Nations Education Resource Center. My friend Nicole recently found a photo album from his retirement party. It was attended by colleagues, politicians, mostly family, cousins, so many cousins, his siblings, me and my brothers, Mom. I flipped through the album several times, but kept coming back to two things. I look thin and awkward, and I'm wearing a suit with an undefinable color. If pressed, I describe it as olive green. If the color wasn't bad enough, it's two sizes too big. It makes me look like a kid, like I'd snuck into Dad's closet and put on an old suit of his to play dress up, pretend to be him. I look at the pictures and shake my head, chuckling at my 25-year-old self. I look at pictures of Dad. He was 67 at the time, but he looks younger than that. He looks young, and he's gained weight since the health scare in 2001. This won't last. Year after year, because he's missing his large intestine, he's gotten thinner. There are times when I catch myself staring at him, making comparisons between him at that moment and the other dads I've stared at. I can't change the past. Dad's right about that. But I jealously want more time with him, because I know, however gradually it's happening, he's slipping away from me. I've tried to push through my uncertain faith and pray for the most ridiculous things, for a large intestine to manifest itself within his body so that he can eat properly again, retain nutrients. If my coworker can hand me $200 because God told him I was struggling, why can't Dad get his fucking organ back and stay with us? Stop slipping away. No matter how hard I try, it feels like too many memories are leaving with him. My time with Dad has been this way. There are memories that stubbornly refuse to fade. Memories that remain clear and indelible. I can remember them as though they happened earlier this week. I'm in a hockey arena right now. Cole's in a camp. I'm sitting at a table by a large window, and the sunlight is warming my back. I'm home for the week from Clear Lake because I've been traveling too much for my writing and don't have enough vacation days to spend the week at the cabin with Jill and our three younger children. I was there on the weekend with my family, Mom and Dad, Cam and Holly, their two youngest kids. Every night, Cam and I sat by the fire. On Saturday, we were making videos of me feeding him a variety of things, then sending the videos, one by one, to Michael, because he wasn't there. It's funnier than it sounds. Later, Dad came to sit with us, and I showed him the videos in sequence. They got progressively more involved and outrageous. We didn't think Dad would be impressed, but he laughed harder than I'd seen him laugh in years. When I think of it now, it's like he's right beside me. I can see him. I can hear him. There are moments, because memories have collapsed into these impressions. Dad leaning over his cane, two hands clutched around its handle, standing outside the open passenger side door of his car, trying to find balance. He's been getting dizzier more frequently. We were sitting in a pew, and I kept glancing at him, at his eyes. They were glistening, close to tears. I've never seen him cry before. His oldest friend and adopted brother, Alan, had passed away. I think he saw his own mortality. I think I saw Dad's mortality. My eyes were glistening too. Memories, moments with Dad are like this. They have been this way. Some are clear and indelible. Some exist only in impressions, as moments in time. Some are lost to me, despite how hard I've tried to keep them, despite how important they are, each one of them. Some are lost, and I feel crushed under the weight of emptiness. Moments in time. However long or fleeting memories are, that's what they are. Dad's voice, in this moment, is clear to me. I can hear him talk to me in one of the countless conversations we've had. He's telling me about time, what it means when you live in the city, and what it meant for him when he lived on the trap line on Blackwater. I tell people this in terms of time. It is important because the animals have patterns. If you miss those patterns, like the muskrat run in the spring, then you're not going to get as many furs or eat as much. Work is like that in a way, even though it's different in the city. If you're late, then you've missed something. We all share similarities. It's what makes us human. Recognizing our similarities, appreciating our differences, helps us to live as humans in a good way. There are similarities between the way we see time in the city and the way Indigenous people view time on the land. If you're late, you've missed something. But there are differences too. Western society is a slave to time. We crave immediacy. We've been conditioned for it. On Blackwater, Dad said, there is a calmness. You feel the serenity that the world brings. You see the ducks. You see the swift water. You see the fish. You go to this big lake, and it's all right there in front of you. You see the houses along the shore where people live. I don't know if you can feel the same kind of serenity in the city, the same calm. I don't know that you can just sit on a rock by the water, see all these things, and just be. I like to hear my anxiety medication rattle around in its plastic bottle while I walk. It lets me know that if I need it, it's there. I can take a pill, and in 20 minutes or so, the anxiety will subside. Presently, I've got about 11 minutes to go before the anxiety I'm feeling right now numbs out just enough for me to function a little better. The last time I didn't think about the pills in my pocket was on Blackwater. There is another kind of time, and I don't know where it fits right now. It feels like a hybrid of both, at once urgent and calm. It is reflective of my years with Dad since I saw him in the ICU and fainted. How I remember, how memories fracture into images, how they become lost. I know that our time together is limited. This felt less real 10 years ago than it does now. Because our remaining time together is short, I want to spend more time with Dad, to create more memories and find a way to protect the ones I have. But being with Dad, despite the urgency of need, is calming. He is, to me, the embodiment of Blackwater. It's as if the serenity he grew up around as a child is something he's carried with him throughout his life, and something I can feel. It's why when Dad is around, I think a little less about that pill bottle in my pocket. Dad has talked a lot about the elders. At one point, he told me that he wanted me to remember that in the Cree culture, we can't forget the influence of the elders. When we stray from what we are, from who we are, when we lose these things, it's because we've forgotten that influence. We don't honor them now the way we did in the past. Dad and a group of elders have recently decided that they like the word grandparents better because there are so many interpretations of what it means to be an elder. Whatever the word, one of the roles they had and still have is to be the keepers of knowledge, to pass it down to future generations. Doing this is a way to preserve knowledge of what and who we are, not to leave footprints in the sand, but to etch them into stone. Historically, this wasn't done by literally etching knowledge into stone, but rather it was passed down orally. Things have changed. When I launched my first book, Senator Murray Sinclair acknowledged this, that while we used to pass down knowledge exclusively through our oral traditions, today we are doing it in new ways. One of those ways is through the written word. I think there's value in our stories for others, but selfishly, I also don't want to lose the things I've known, experienced, researched, been told in the traditions we used to hold close in the development of our many cultures as Indigenous people. I want to document these things for myself, so that when I forget, when memories break down over time, I can come here and renew them. And I want them for my family, for my parents, my brothers, their children, and mine. Because just as there are within these pages parts of who I am, there are parts of who they are, who they have been, and who they will become. This story will protect the memories I have of Dad. One by one, moment by moment, memory by memory. Robertson says, "My father and I spent decades together, learning from each other. It was a journey. When we went to its trapline together, I knew that's where we'd been heading to. Blackwater felt like home as soon as I stepped onto the land. And I knew that when we arrived, Dad had gone home too." Today's passage was from the memoir Blackwater, Family, Legacy, and Blood Memory by David A. Robertson, published by HarperCollins. Thank you for listening to Passage to Wonderland. Until next time, rest easy.